Giants on the clock now.
This puts the Giants, yes.
Emphasize, hopefully they'll bring the best out of him, because on third down, really, there was no pass rusher, I think, that I would rather have of these rookies if it's third down and I need to get to the quarterback than this kid.
Well, the problem is you got to get to third down.
That's true.
They do play first and second down for a living in pro football, and to get to third and seven or third and eight, to get a lead, you have to be able to stop the run.
They've just been one of the worst, though. They have not been able to put the quarterback on the ground.
We've had eight picks in the first hour. We were going to go, but the New York Football Giants are now on the clock. They're 6-10. They are a dubious award. First team since the Green Bay Packers after Super Bowl II to not have made the playoffs the next 3 years. The good news is they hope Victor Cruz is healthy to pair with Odell Beckham Jr., the rookie sensation wide receiver, to play pitch and catch with Eli Manning. But if you think of those Giants who won the Super Bowl in 11, won the Super Bowl in 07, the New York Giants of Tom.
So we're waiting on the Giants pick here, guys. We're hearing a lot of noise about the Rams possibly trading in, or the Rams having a big pick, so we'll see. Hopefully the commissioner's to the stage. There might be a trade here.
That's the identity of the Giants, and they haven't had it, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They need to build this team up from front to back, both offensively and defensively. They need offensive linemen. They haven't been able to create a lot of space for their running backs. The running game has been a problem. Defensively, the defensive line hasn't been the same as it's been in years past. Other than JPP, I mean, really, what do they have? They need to get some beef up front, both sides of the football, get back to who they were when they were winning Super Bowls. And here you can see
all right,
these
the
big
pick is coming. Everybody hang in there. Hope everybody's having a great time tonight.
Who's your top offensive lineman on the board now that Chirp's gone?
Right now,
they are certainly giving Roger Goodell a lot of time to get to the podium.
Miami of Florida, Andrews, Pete Stanford. I think it's too early.
Are they giving him a lot of time, or is he just taking a lot of time?
At this particular
is Roger Goodell ambulatory, or is he, I mean, what's happening?
You might move those guys
on your
board.
Is he having trouble getting to the podium?
Is Devontae Parker a huge drop off of Kevin White?
I don't think so. All right, here we go.
With the ninth pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Eric Flowers, tackle, Miami.
All right, very interesting pick. So here's the thing, guys, here's what's super interesting. The Giants are always a team that supposedly is the best player available team, never drafts on need, and we're going to bring Tiny in here in a second because he is our resident offensive line expert. Actually, we're just going to have him hold the mic. No, facing us. Right. You know, if we can get Tiny Nolan in here, of course, he writes about the offensive line for TurnOnTheJets.com. Cal, though, quickly, your impressions, Eric Flowers, is he the best player available?
I don't know if he's the best player available, but he definitely is a need for them, and he's the best player at that need.
He certainly is the best player at that need. I'm a bit surprised at this pick, though. You just usually don't see the Giants do that. Joe, what do you think here?
It's a need, a bit of a reach, but sometimes need over a supersedes reach. If they didn't take him, there's a good chance that the Rams would have taken him with the very next pick, and then who knows after that if the Giants could have even gotten an offensive lineman that could have come in and been a very effective starter right away. I think it's, like I said, it's a need pick, and I think it was the right call. Maybe it was a reach, but it's a need pick, and good job for them protecting Eli like they needed to.
Let's bring in Tiny Nolan, our buddy Tiny.
What's
Nolan,
up,
what do you think, man?
Flowers, I kind of predicted this pick, actually, because I heard a lot of the Giants were big on him as their number one lineman.
You're good.
He's a big-bodied kid, real big-bodied kid. really probably the strongest lineman in the entire draft. So it's a good pick for them. They could put him at guard and leave Pugh out of tackle, or they could put him at tackle and maybe move Pugh inside. They kind of got a little versatility now. You know, footwork-wise, it's got a little bit of work to do, but honestly, I think it's a good pick for them. A lot of guys, a lot of scouts liked him as their top lineman. So,
does he come in and start from day one?
Yeah, I think he probably will. I mean, if you're going to draft a guy at 9 overall, I mean, I think he's got to come in and start for you.
Yeah.
He's really not much of a project. He's got the functional strength already of... could be one of the stronger guys in the NFL. I mean, he's there already. You know, you got to take a look at his footwork and see how he gets the technique down and whatever schemes are going to teach, but he'll probably come in and start from day one, I would think.
Was there another way that you could have seen the Giants going here because Schreff went so early that maybe they would have, you know, punted the offensive line to the second round?
I mean, honestly, I actually heard from some people today that Flowers was higher on their board than Scherf.
Okay.
Which surprises me a little bit, but maybe they just felt he was a better fit for what they want to do and how they're going to shuffle the deck up front.
Right, right.
Scherf was my top guy. And the big thing for him is he was the most well-rounded lineman in the entire draft. I mean, every lineman so far has, you know, they all have, like, they're good at certain things. They're not completely well-rounded. But Scherf is the number one guy because he's got it all. I mean, he's not amazing at any one thing. He's not a mauler. He's not unbelievable in pass pro. He can be beat. But he just had that thing across the board where he was good everywhere.
We have the Rams are on the clock. The pick is in, so we're probably going to cut to the television real quick. Not yet, sorry. But we're going to cut to the TV in a minute so we get Commissioner Goodell's announcement. Tiny, who's the best left of the offensive linemen going forward for the rest of the first round?
I mean, the funny thing is my favorite guy in the draft was Lyle Collins, who, you know, we know what's going on with him. So the other two guys that I really liked up top were I liked Pete a lot, Andrews Pete out of Stanford. I think he can be a cornerstone, eventually a tackle. He's still got some stuff to work on. He's still a little bit of a leaner in run blocking. He's not the most physical guy, but footwork-wise and pass pro-wise, he's probably the best guy in this draft. Another guy I like is DJ Humphreys. And I actually thought Humphreys was very similar of a player to Collins. So anyone that was pretty high on Lyle Collins should probably be high on DJ Humphreys too, because he kind of shares a lot of the same traits, same physicality, same getting off the ball. You know, he's very similar to Collins as a player. So okay. Those are my top two guys on the board
right.
Still.
Do you think either of those guys goes in the first round? I think Pete does probably, right?
I think they should all go in the first round. Yeah. I mean, you may see one of them go here.
Right.
You know, the Rams are looking for someone to put next to Robinson.
Yep.
They could go, someone could go here, and a lot of people mock draft the linemen to the Rams here at 10. But I would think they would all go in the first round. I think you'll see probably as we get to mid, towards the later end of the first round, there'll be a run.
Right.
I would think.
Give me your impressions real quick while we have you on the mic. Give me your impressions and your thoughts on Leonard Williams.
I love it. I mean, to me, it's, you know, everyone talks about that best player available concept or best graded player available, whatever you say for the scheme. I mean, I think he's a guy who's going to come in and make this D-line one of the best possibly ever. I mean, really, if he comes in and reaches the potential we think he could have.
Go ahead, Kyle. No, I didn't mean to cut you off. But the question I had was, if they didn't go Leonard Williams, would you have gone another way? Are you happy with taking Williams at 6, or would you have gone another way?
I mean, I could have seen them taking Kevin White. That could be another way they would have went. But I'm not. I think a lot of the edge rushers outside of Fowler were a little overrated. I think people were really high on them because they get, as soon as they see those guys that can rush the passer, they're all over them. When that well-rounded of players, they really can't defend the run, you know, none of that type of stuff. And I actually, it was interesting on watching Gruden and Kuiper on TV the other day. Gruden was picking out film of these guys getting dominated against the run. I think it was Randy Gregory that was. Melvin Gordon hit 400 yards just running at him all day. Was it Gregory? I can't remember which guy it was. But, you know, I think they're a little overrated. So I'm happy with the pick. If I'm a Jets fan, I'm happy with the pick.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what this means for Wilkerson, but, you know, I like the pick. He's the best player available. Good two-gap player. A lot of people have the best player in the draft, so I think it's a good pick.
To the Williams pick or to the Rams pick? What do you want me to go here?
No, I was going to ask you about the Rams pick.
Yeah. I think they're going to actually pass on the offensive lineman here. A guy like Jake Fisher might still be there for them with their pick in the second round.
Right.
Another need for them is going to be getting Foles a weapon. I don't know if they have enough there for him. And a guy like a Breshad Perriman or a guy like Devontae Parker, and it looks like the commission's going.
Yeah, let's go to the podium, Jay, please. All right, we're going back to the podium here. The Rams are on the clock.
The commissioner's time in the 40 is not what it used to be.
Yeah.
You're in that job for five, six.
So we're not alone saying it's ridiculous. Did he get a hip replacement?
With the 10th pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the St. Louis Rams select Todd Gurley.
Oh!
Georgia.
Whoa.
And there you have it. A running back pick in the top 10. My goodness. Stop the presses. Because no one can...
Wow. That is huge. It's the first time in a long time, guys, that a running back has gone this high at all. You know, everybody loves Todd Gurley's ability. It's not a knock on him as a player. But the position has been so devalued over the years. I'll start with you, Tiny, and then we'll go around the horn. What do you make of this pick?
I think it's great. I mean, you know, it's weird that running backs have been so devalued over the last several years. I mean, it's kind of a resurgence of the running back, and it really speaks for how Gurley is the player, the fact that they're willing to get him at 10, all coming off an injury. You know, coming off a pretty serious injury. You know, hopefully he's going to be like Peterson coming back healthy from it, but coming off that injury, they're going with him at 10. I mean, that just speaks to how good of a player they think Todd Gurley is. I think it's a good pick. I like it.
Todd Gurley is a game changer, plain and simple. The Rams have had some problems with the running backs the last couple of years. Ever since Steven Jackson left, they didn't have any consistency there. So he's going to be a key player there to take some of the pressure off Foles, being that he doesn't have a top weapon. He's a game changer as long as he's healthy with that knee, he's fully recovered. The only risk is, you know, once two knee injuries, you really can't recover from, and he's lost that one in the bank already. So if he hurts it again, who knows what happens. But it's just a matter of him coming back healthy and getting back to the form he was at Georgia. When he was there, he was a game changer. See if it could translate to the NFL now.
He's an explosive player, but again, the injury concern is a huge concern. And when was the last running back that we saw drafted this high, or even in the first round, that came in and made an impact in the league immediately?
No, but you know, Mike, or I think it was McShay, exasperatedly, because McShay is always exasperated when he's doing his podcast. He's like, "Tell me about Gurley." Oh God! It's the draft. I know it's my job. But he brought up a great point. You know, he was talking about Le'Veon Bell, and he was talking about guys that were taken in the second round. If you did the draft over, they would be first round picks. They absolutely would be first-round picks. So this idea that the running back position is devalued to a point of you can't possibly take a guy there is sort of nonsense. And I would also say this shows to me a great deal of confidence in the guys they have there, in Tavon Austin and in, you know, Bailey, you know, and in Nick Foles. Like, they feel like they can put together, because everybody loves the Rams, right? Everybody loves the Rams. Everybody's crazy about their defense. They're a big sleeper team. Everybody loves the Rams. Is this guy the last piece of the puzzle? I'll throw it to you, Joe. You know, is this guy... They're showing a ton of confidence in the weapons they already have.
Now, an aspect of Gurley's game that's not talked about much is his receiving. He's a really good pass catcher out of the backfield, and Foles really loved throwing the ball to McCoy and, to a lesser extent, Sproles when he was in Philly, and now that's added back to his repertoire over there.
Yeah, it's a huge... It's like a huge thing. Like a running back went, oh, hide the women and children. I have the vapors, my lord.
I mean, who's to blame? Is Trent Richardson to blame for
this
evaluation?
He is.
I mean, he's almost ruined football single-handed.
Let's pay him.
I mean, he's two first-round picks have gone for Trent Richardson.
Yeah.
He's devalued the running back position and lost people a lot of money in the process. But good thing. I hope Todd Gurley works out and gets it back going. I mean, and what we just showed, they just showed a bunch of clips here on ESPN of him running. He's an NFL running back. He knows how to follow blocks. He knows how to set up blocks. And he's explosive. As soon as he hits that line of scrimmage, he's an explosive kid. So, I mean, I hope he brings – he leads the resurgence of running backs coming out of the draft in the future.
Yeah, you hope so, but I keep going back to what Joe said. One knee injury in the bank, the next one, it's going to be hard to come back from.
So you're saying two knee injuries is a bad thing?
Two knee injuries, probably
not the greatest thing in the world. All right, so we have a second here with the Minnesota Vikings on the clock. They may take all day. No, the pick is in. But while we have Tiny on the line here, I want to ask you about your Eagles.
I got to tell you, I'm thrilled that they did not trade up to two, because that offer that was being, you know, shopped around Twitter or whatever, I mean, that was a lot. And Chip Kelly talked about not mortgaging the future. To me, that's a mortgage of the future.
Yeah.
That offer. I mean, getting rid of your entire core, especially on defense. Cox, Kendricks, all those guys. I'm glad they didn't do it, so I want them to kind of sit at 20 or maybe shuffle around 20 and go after a Byron Jones or one of those guys, Marcus Peters out of Washington. I kind of want to see them go after one of those guys, maybe look to get a running back, O-line, then later in the draft, second, third round.
Do you think we're out of the danger zone of moving up now? Because we're at pick 11. They didn't make the trade to 11, so.
I definitely don't think we're out of the danger zone, but I think we're out of the danger zone for Mariota. I mean, I could see them moving up for a guy that they just have on their board they really like, whether it's a Peters, Jones, any one of those type of guys. But I think the Mariota thing is done and dead. I would have loved to have Mariota, sure. I mean, I think it would have been great, but to give away that much on defense, plus two number ones and a number two, I think this year or next year, that's just too much for me.
So we are here at Five Milestone, as you know, because you're here in the room, and joined by the guys from TurnOnTheJets.com. Brian Calvi, Steve Sampietro from Ready to Unload with Cal and Sampete. We did a raffle. We're going to get to that very shortly. You guys should have raffle tickets. We're going to raffle off some great Jets stuff here. We have a DeBrickashaw Ferguson signed football. We have a Jeremy Curley signed football. So we're going to get to the raffle in a couple of minutes. So if you have your raffle tickets, if you use them to write a number down, you're making a bet. I don't know. What would you possibly use a ticket for there, Cal?
Other than entering a raffle. Yeah, there's not a lot you could do with it.
Maybe at the deli. Maybe you got a low number. You could go to like a corner deli and scalp that.
Maybe.
Let's go to the podium, Jay.
With the 11th pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Minnesota Vikings select Trey Waynes, defensive back, Michigan State.
Okay, so we have our first corner off the board in Trey Waynes. You know, guys, this is a super interesting pick because
from Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Oh, we all know he's not the best corner in the draft.
I mean, he's not my best.
No, he's not anybody's best corner.
Yeah, and we talked about. I just talked a second ago about the Gruden-Kuiper special. Yeah. I mean, they really took Waynes and really kind of isolated a lot of his, you know, unwillingness to get in there and get physical and make, which is surprising for a Michigan State guy.
Yeah.
You know, when I think Michigan State football, I think physicality, especially on defense. And it's a little surprising. He's not a guy that really wants to get in the mix and make a lot of tackles.
No, it's not. He doesn't seem like a guy who mixes it up. And you know, we all know who the number one corner in this draft is.
Who you got?
It's Peters.
I like Peters.
Yeah.
I'm a Peters guy, and that's who I'm hoping the Eagles get.
And I think this cleans the way for you to maybe get him at the 20.
Yeah, I'm glad to see Waynes going. I don't think Kelly or the Eagles would have went for him, but, you know, it's good to see him off the board. But, you know, if there's another cornerback needy team before the Eagles, maybe Peters goes next.
Maybe, so yeah.
You kind of want to see those guys hang around a little bit, so Peters will stick on the board for a team that doesn't have him number one.
We have the Browns on the clock right now. They have about 5.5 minutes left. And they've been a super interesting team, the Browns, obviously, with Johnny Manziel and all the drama that they went through last year. They have about 5 minutes left on the clock. No idea where they might go. Joe, any ideas where the Browns might go here?
First, I want a quick touch on the Vikings pick.
Please.
Of Waynes. I actually had this argument with Dalvin, I think it was yesterday, about who the best corner in the draft is. I agree with that. It's Peters, highest ceiling, highest floor. I actually have Waynes with the highest floor.
Safest
player.
Because, it's like the Cooper Kevin White.
Yep,
thing, right.
Exactly. Because Peters and, to a lesser extent, P.J. Williams from Florida State, they also have off-the-field issues.
Right.
And so that also factors into it in today's NFL.
Sure.
But Waynes, doesn't have those.
You mean
issues.
Getting thrown off the team is a bad thing?
Yeah, that's a bad thing. You know.
Again, being, frowned upon.
Frowned upon.
If I had known that,
probably
wouldn't have gotten thrown off the team. Cal, we're moving through this draft beautifully. Cleveland on the clock. Cleveland.
Again, you talked about the drama last year with Johnny Football. There's been drama the last couple of weeks with Cleveland.
Right.
They've got two first-round picks.
Yep.
They were shopping them actively.
And they don't know what to do with them.
They were trying to get a quarterback. They just got a quarterback last year.
Right.
Who the heck knows what they're going to do? Their pick is in.
They literally could take anyone right now.
It's amazing, though. There's been, we're 12 picks into the draft and no trades.
No trades yet. Which we thought this was going to be like a crazy trade-heavy draft.
Trade-palooza. this.
Yeah, and apparently Ray Farmer didn't take any notes from Kevin Costner in drafting, keeping both of these first-round picks.
That's right.
But as far as where they go here, a guy to keep in mind might be Bud Dupree. They have a very, I don't want to say a weak defensive line, but it could definitely use improvement. And Mike Patton, a Rex Ryan guy,
they could use an edge.
Bud Dupree
That's why I'm somewhat surprised, guys, that Mike Patton, with his two first-round picks, didn't try to get up and get Leonard Williams. Because Mike Patton was the guy who rang the bell for Mo Wilkerson. I mean, Mike, that was his guy. He made that pick. The reason Mo Wilkerson at a Temple is a Jet is Mike Patton. So I was kind of surprised that the Browns didn't try to get into that spot. Maybe they did.
I think they absolutely did.
Right. Maybe they did, and they didn't offer enough.
I think they absolutely did. And what we're hearing is that Maccagnan didn't get an offer that he felt was worth moving down for. So maybe one of those offers was from the Browns.
Right. We're going to raffle off the giveaways in just a couple of minutes. Tiny, where do the Browns go here? And also back to Mike Patton trying to get, you know, a defensive lineman.
I'm not surprised. I'm sure he was trying to get up there. But honestly, Williams, it's interesting. You know, at USC at least, he was more of a two-gap player. Actually, if you watch tape on them, he's the slowest guy off the ball.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting to watch. He's slow off the ball, but then just knows how to read what's going on. He plays kind of like a linebacker. But I think in Patton and Rex Ryan's defenses, they like D linemen that are going to penetrate a little more.
Right.
Kind of get off the ball. So I don't know if they really had him maybe as high as some other teams who play more penetrative style of defense would have. But I'm honestly, I mean, the kid could probably play that style of football.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure.
I just felt like the athleticism there.
The athleticism, the size, the power.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so if you're drafting a guy you think is the number one guy in the draft, I'm sure he can do it.
Right.
But, you know, for them, they could go Devontae Parker here. You know, they could look at someone to replace, you know, Josh Gordon, whoever knows what in God's name is going on with him. I wouldn't be surprised to see that pick.
So, real quick, guys, we're having a great time here. We'd like to thank... like to thank Five Mile Stone for having us again. Hope everybody's having a great time. We're going to do the raffle in a couple of minutes. Special thanks to Dave from Gun Hill Brewery. I hope everybody's enjoying the Gun Hill Brewery award-winning beers. Congratulations to them winning Best Stout. It's a tremendous honor. Dave, seriously, congrats, buddy. I'm seriously super excited for you guys at Gun Hill. And, of course, SeatSwap, SeatSwapTicket.com, a new up-and-coming way to, you know, to ignore StubHub. Ignore them. Because, Cal, it's about being there, Cal. It's about being there. We're going to bring Joe Caparoso back in a couple of minutes to do the raffle. We have some great gifts here. But, again, thank you, everybody, for coming out. Thank you to the Five Mile Stone staff, who's doing an awesome job. Thank you, guys, behind the bar. Super appreciate it. And hope everybody's having a great time. And, you know, the Browns on the clock here. I want to bring it back to the draft. I watched Draft Day. I watched that movie. Now, I admittedly watched it on the iPad in bed, you know, kind of by myself, like solo. Because obviously the wife is going to be nowhere involved with that.
She's not interested in
no!
that?
No. No. Heavens no.
It's Kevin Costner.
It's Kevin Costner. He's adorable.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that movie. The acting was abysmal. Not sure you can act any worse in a movie.
That bad, huh?
It was that bad. When Kevin Costner is the best thing in the movie, by a lot. Like Jennifer Garner, wow.
I didn't see the movie. Was it believable?
No, not even remotely. Let's go to the podium.
Cleveland Browns select Danny Shelton. Defensive tackle, Washington.
Danny Shelton, the defensive tackle from Washington.
The player in the draft.
Interesting.
He's just...
he got laid as well, just like Marcus Mariota. They both got laid. What?
He's...
it's not my fault.
Which is why
I'm sorry. I'm going to take this to our resident line expert. Tiny, what do you got?
I mean, it's a surprising pick, but Shelton's a strange cat. He's a little bit like Sheldon Richardson in that not his explosiveness off the ball, but in his pursuit of ball carriers. It's very interesting to watch him play. He doesn't dominate inside as much as I would like to see him on a consistent basis, but once ball carriers start to break it outside the tackle or something like that, he is in full pursuit like a linebacker. And I was shocked watching it. That's, to me, that's his strength. It's reading the play, and you're going to see some things that ESPN's showing us here he really pursues down the line unbelievably for an interior D lineman.
Yeah, I think what's interesting, guys, is last year when the Raiders took Khalil Mack, right? We were all like, "Oh, they did it right! Oh, the Raiders did it right! Oh, good! You know, they did it right! Oh, fantastic! The Browns did it right here. This is a good pick, Joe."
I would agree with that. I can't really speak much about Shelton. I'm not very familiar with him, so thankfully Tiny's here. But it's definitely a pick that you can see coming on the defensive line for Patton. Like you said, a guy maybe like Sheldon Richardson. So I think they maybe did get it right here. It's an area of need, their defensive line. They got torched in the run all season last year. So it's a good pick for them.
Yeah, it's a good pick because they have another first-round pick, too. So this is a good opportunity to take
absolutely
a guy like that.
It's kind of similar to what the Jets were looking at 2 years ago, right?
Right.
Sheldon.
And Milner, right.
And the interesting thing is, similar, he's a versatile lineman. So, you know, I'm not convinced he's this big power Haloti Ngata type player that's just going to dominate. I don't think he's that guy. But he is versatile. He can play in Petten. Petten's going to run four-man fronts. He's going to run three-man fronts. He can play in both of those schemes. So I think it's a good pick, and it's something that's, you know, he always looks for in his players on D-lines. Rex, same way, is they're going to get versatile linemen. And I think he is that.
Well, it's again surprising when the Browns do something right. Like we're reasonably, and I have a lot of friends from Cleveland. I know Cleveland quite well. Good for them.
Yeah, and looking at the rest of the D linemen who have first round grades that are left, he's probably the most productive guy that's still on the board. So if you were thinking they might take a wide receiver, you know, you still got some depth here at wide receiver, some guys that are first round talents, second round talents,
right,
that they can use that other pick on. Yeah. So now you jump on Shelton, thinking the guys behind him really aren't that great. Armstead's not really there yet. Brown's a good player, but he's, you know, he's not as good as Shelton. So you make the move on Shelton now, and then maybe you take a receiver later on or an edge rusher that we still have depth at.
Yeah, this is a common theme for a lot of teams that need a receiver, is that it's a deep receiver draft. So you can wait. You can sort of wait it out to the second or third round, or even the fourth or fifth. You may get somebody, you know, like a Martavis Bryant last year. You know, it's a deep draft for receivers where you can say, you know what? Let me get this big run stuffer that I can plug in. I got another pick in the first round, you know, that I can use maybe on that receiver. And there's the drop-off between like a Devontae Parker, it's not that great. It's not a huge drop-off. So, you know, good for the Browns, Cal. Good for the Browns, I say. But I say what's good for the Browns is good for the NFL. And they have new uniforms, and they're very fancy.
I have not seen... Well, I have seen them.
They are very fancy.
I don't know if I would say fancy.
Well, there's nothing about the Browns
football,
that's ever fancy.
Football uniforms, fancy.
All right. What's
sharp.
They are sharp.
Sharp.
They are definitely sharp. I apologize. You're right. That's a better word to use. Hey, that football uniform? Sharp. So we have the... We have the New Orleans Saints on the clock right now, a team in flux, as you would say, you know, trading Jimmy Graham in the offseason. They have a ton of needs. Drew Brees is a malcontent. He's not a malcontent. He's doing commercials. He's not doing commercials. He has a cold. Then he doesn't have a cold.
Is he okay?
Takes the medication. He doesn't have a cold anymore.
That's the commercial.
So you don't know what the Saints are going to do here. They really could do anything. And their owner's crazy pants. I'm sorry. I'll say it. Like, that's a crazy pants organization. It is. Look, it's not my fault.
You're spot on.
Right.
And you don't know what they were going to do. They were interested in Shane Ray before everything went down.
And they should still be. Why not?
They still might be.
Bring them into New Orleans. Why not? Can I get 3J? I'm sorry.
They were also interested in Randy Gregory, and now everything's coming out with him that maybe some say he might not be able to handle the mental rigors of the NFL.
Which is great. That's what you want to hear.
Yeah. they're devoid of weapons for Breeze now all of a sudden, with Colson getting up in age and Graham gone, so maybe they could go for a Parker here.
Right, and Cooks got banged up last year, so you don't know necessarily
if he's
you know, he was great when he was healthy,
yep,
but he got banged up. You don't know if necessarily he's an answer, so they could go with Devontae Parker right here.
They could go anywhere here. Long-term, for their 31st pick, I could see them maybe going for a Bryce Petty to back up Breeze, but here they could go anywhere.
Yeah, but Bryce Petty at the 31, that is kinky. I have not seen that in a lot of places, and I like it. I would definitely be into it. Tiny, what are the Saints doing here? We're going to do the raffle in a couple of minutes, folks, so everybody stand pat. What was I going for there?
Stand by.
I was going for stand by. Stay put.
I think they go wide receiver here. I mean, who's he throwing the ball to? Honestly, I can't even think of who their starting receivers are outside of Cooks next year. I mean, everyone's gone, right?
Colson's gone, right?
I mean,
is Colson still there?
Yeah, but he's still there, but he's old.
He's a shell of his former self.
Yeah,
I mean, and he went to Hofstra. Jay went to Hofstra.
I mean, I think they go Parker here. I would think they would get Drew Brees a weapon, make him a little happier. Unless Drew Brees is clamoring for another own lineman, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think Parker, to me, seems to be the pick here.
Yeah. In a crazy offseason of NFL trades, I might be wrong here, but didn't they trade Kenny Stills to the Dolphins?
Yes.
So they really have no weapons for Brees to throw the ball to. So definitely a receiver could go here. Of the two top ones remaining, Parker and Perriman. Perriman might have the most upside, but Parker is the safest bet here, and I think they could go Parker here.
Yeah, there's a number of ways they could go. We're trying to get Chris Lopresti on the line, and we're going to get Chris on in a couple of seconds. And then we're going to do the raffle. We welcome Joe Caparoso back in, founder of TurnOnTheJets.com. Hope everybody's having a great time out there. John Gruden's clearly having a great time. Cal, he looks like a tick about to pop.
You know those people that love Christmas and they wait all year and they have Christmas rooms in their house? That's what John Gruden looks like tonight. This is like the greatest day of the year for him. For him and Kuiper, and Mel Kuiper.
Yeah, John Gruden, Tiny, thank you so much, buddy. Stay close by. Tiny's also working security right now for our sound guy, Jay. All right, let's go to the podium, Jay, please. Thank you so much. Jay Mafali doing an unbelievable job.
2015 NFL Draft. The New Orleans Saints select Andres Pete. Tackle Stanford.
Wow.
Quarterback like Drew Brees, and you get the kind of protection that you had last year, which is not acceptable.
Very interesting pick. Very interesting pick. We just heard Tiny Nolan talk about Andres Pete as a prospect and whatnot. Hey, you got to protect him. You got to protect Drew Brees. And you can't just do it with Vixen NyQuil.
So in talking to Nolan and just looking at some of our pre-draft analysis, Pete's a guy who kind of compares a little bit to DeBerkashaw Ferguson, maybe a little bit more of a finesse blocker, very good footwork, very good technique, not a mauler, not overly physical, but a guy who really could probably develop into a left tackle at this level, which is obviously a valuable skill set to have, as this draft was, you know, short on those options. So good value here for them getting Pete, a guy that, you know, had been rumored for the Jets a little bit as a potential trade back target, and I think taking him at this spot is probably about where he should go.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a good value pick for the Saints. They have another first round pick. They can address the wide receiver issue there. Guys, we have Chris Lopresti on the line. I'd love to get to Chris if we can. I'll ask the questions if we can. Chris Lopresti from WFAN.com. Chris, it's Sam Pete here and the boys. We have a very full room, so it might be kind of hard to hear us, but Chris, are you there? Chris, we're trying to get you on. Chris Lopresti does a great job for WFAN covering the Jets. He has just been covering Maccagnan and Bulls press conferences. Chris, do we have you on the line? All right, we'll try to get him back. Let's see if we can get him back here. Thanks, everybody, for bearing with us. Dalvin is absolutely mauling a slider right now. It's almost upsetting. It's like the Serengeti over here. Chris, are you there? Can you hear us? We lost him. All right. We will try to get Chris back on the line in a couple of minutes. Chris does an amazing job. Guys, this might not be a bad time to do the raffle.
Oh, we got to hand out some prizes?
Yeah, let's hand out some prizes.
You got the booming mic. Let's hand out those signed footballs.
All right. How am I doing this? Hold on.
Reach in. We got the signed Jeremy Curley football, signed DeBerkashaw Ferguson football. We got four sets of preseason tickets, I believe.
We have four sets of preseason tickets for the Jets. We have the signed football for DeBerkashaw Ferguson. We have the signed football
signed Leonard Williams jersey. Just kidding, not yet. We just got the signed Ferguson.
I'm walking out with that one, buddy. So how are we doing this? We just pick it out of this?
Just pick it out of that. You got the booming mic, so you let it rip. And if they don't come up and claim it, I'll just take it all home. It's okay.
That's all right. Or I'll take it home for Wes.
Yeah. Or we'll just give it all to Dalvin.
All right. Let me get in here. All right. Okay, here we go. The first ticket we are going to call. Take your tickets out. This is for the DeBerkashaw Ferguson signed football. The DeBerkashaw Ferguson signed football. The ticket number is 7-4-1-2-9-2-1. 7-4-1-2-9-2-1. Anyone?
Bueller. Anyone? Bueller.
Bueller. Fry. Oh, we had, somebody's
we
holding
got,
up their
winner.
Hand. We got a winner.
Come to the booth and claim your prize.
We got a winner, you guys.
Come claim your signed Tim Tebow t-shirt. And just kidding, that's not the prize.
We have a Louis Aguiar signed cleat. No, here he comes.
Just a cleat.
Get yourself
welcome aboard. What's your name?
Ferguson Football.
And what kind of fan are you, Mark? Where are you from, Mark?
New York.
All right, Giants fan from New York. How do you feel about it? Hey, Mark, come here, come here, come here. How do you feel about the pick?
Boo.
How do you feel about the pick? You like it? Need pick, but good player. All right, good. So you're satisfied with you trust in Jerry Reese. Two Super Bowl trophies means you get to trust that. Thank you so much for coming, buddy. I appreciate it. Find a Jet fan to give that to. All right, here we go. The second ticket coming up is I'm trying to dig deep here, Cal. I'm trying to dig deep. I've never done a raffle. Have you ever done a raffle?
Yeah, I've done some in my day.
You have?
I have.
What are you, moonlight as a...
I'm an amateur raffle.
You're an amateur? You haven't gone pro yet?
No.
What's the prize?
Yeah, I'm going to get there, Jay. Gee whiz. Oh, I mean... Okay, so our second prize here is a signed Jeremy Curley football, number 11 for the New York Jets. From TCU, number 11 in your hearts, number 1 in your programs. No, wait.
That is how it goes. Yeah.
Strike that, reverse it.
Number 1 in your heart, number 11 in your programs.
I know.
There's 10 guys in your heart more
yeah.
than him.
He's very...
He's like 11.
He's like 11 in my heart, though. He's you know, he doesn't matter. All right, here's the number. Jeremy Curley, signed football. 7-4-1-2-9-2-4. Hey, there he is!
What are the odds?
Luna, mezzamare, mamma mia, mare,
dare. Enjoy.
There it is. Wow. All right, what
treat it like a baby.
Dan, how much you bench?
How much do I bench?
I'm messing with you, dude. What did the Rangers do tonight? Is that right? Score? 1-0. Has Ovechkin taken a run at anyone yet? I feel your pain. I feel your pain. That's it. Hey, thank you for coming, man. Seriously, enjoy the football. Jeremy Curley signed football, and he's got a Bookaboom jersey on, Cal. A Bookaboom, jersey, which
wow.
makes me want to pull that sweater over your head and go Mick Vicoda on you.
But he benches 245, so you better be careful.
That's true. I'd have to go Kenny Baumgartner on that one. All right. So we have another prize? Do we have another prize? Do we have a picket?
Do we want to go to the Dolphins pick real quick first?
Did we miss a pick?
Our beloved Tannenbaum Dolphins pick?
We missed the pick. What was the pick?
Almost beat Green Bay and almost beat Denver, but their identity...
Jay, all of us.
What will Ndamukong Suh? That
changes. It looks like the pick is in for the Dolphins. Do we want to wait for that before we do our next...
Let's wait for the pick to be in.
That's my amateur rapper.
Excited about Mike Wallace skills coming into play.
It's the Dolphins. It don't really matter.
That's true. It doesn't matter. If you were a pro, how would you have handled how I did that?
They need a cornerback to replace Cortland Finnegan.
I would have dug deeper for the ticket.
On defense to help
I would have announced the prize first.
I did announce the prize first.
Clearly.
They just lost Mike Wallace and Brian.
Just call in Vanna White.
Yeah.
He's a hard marker. You're a hard marker.
You did a good job, though.
Thanks, man. All right, we're going to wait for the Dolphins pick to be in. Hey, guys. Very interesting, the Miami rebuilt Dolphins here, and Mike Tannenbaum, who we know all so well, Joe Caparoso, Mike Tannenbaum.
Mike Tannenbaum, back in the power seat, and not surprising with the position he's going with here.
Back in the saddle again.
Really it, but
Okay. I love that Mike Tannenbaum is now running the Dolphins draft. I really do.
It is exciting to see, and I think, and again, we'll cut to Goodell here, and I'll break it down after. Yeah. But
let's go to the CBJ
pick by Mike.
Thanks.
With the 14th pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins select Devontae Parker.
Wow.
Wide receiver, Louisville.
Wow. So they go offense, and they give Ryan Tannehill another weapon.
Wide receiver
Joe
has gone.
This is a both Joes. This is a huge pick for the Dolphins.
Not a surprising pick. I mean, the Dolphins have been linked to receivers throughout this entire process. Even some rumors of them potentially trading up to get a guy like White or Parker. And Parker at 14, considering what we've seen on this board, is considered generally good value here. Again, I'm not crazy about taking a receiver this high. Not surprised that Tannenbaum did it, despite them really remaking that group of receivers this year.
Yeah.
Kenny Stills, Greg Jennings, yep. Now you add Parker to the mix. It's a good group of weapons for Ryan Tannehill. Never mind, they also signed Jordan Cameron.
Growth last year towards the end of the season. He was one of the better quarterbacks in the league, honestly. Now you go out and you get him a Stills, you get him a Greg Jennings, and you get him Devontae Parker, and now he can take even that next step. Do we have a trade in?
Yeah, we do. We do have a trade. The Chargers and the 49ers have made a trade. The Chargers get the 15th overall, so they've slid into the 15th spot, and the 49ers have traded out. They get the 17th overall and a 2015 fourth, and then another pick. I didn't see it in there. So the Chargers are now on the clock, a team that everybody widely speculated might be after Todd Gurley. He's off the board. Maybe Gordon III here is the pick for the Chargers. They're running back deficient. And now we've seen a running back come off the board in the first round. Guys, I want to try to go to Chris Lopresti again if we can. So, Jay, if you can just have me, and then we'll see if we can bring CeeLo in here. CeeLo, it's Sam Pete. I know it's crazy pants here. There's a lot of voices. Can you hear us?
I can kind of faintly hear you guys. I'm glad you got a big, loud crowd.
Boy,
there.
We're really having trouble with the phone lines. Chris, we really apologize. Thank you so much for... He can't hear us. Okay, I'm sorry, Chris. We are not able to hear you out here in the room, Jay. So, but Chris wanted to ask you about the Jets pick. Obviously, you just sat in on the conference calls or sat in with Bowles and Maccagnan. What did they have to say? What can you bring to us about what they had to say about the Sheldon Williams pick?
We had a chance to talk to Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles and Leonard Williams on the conference call. Basically, the underlying theme for Maccagnan and Bowles is just that there was too much value for them to pass up at number six. They didn't expect Leonard Williams to be there on the board. They had him valued or ranked, I should say, in their top three. So when they got to number six and he was still sitting there, they sat back. They fielded some trade calls from other teams, but nothing that they felt was even close to valuable enough to trade out of number six. So the Jets now have a bit of a logjam along their defensive line, but they landed arguably the best defensive prospect, or maybe the best overall prospect in the draft at number six. So from a value standpoint, Mike Maccagnan certainly did a nice job here with his first ever selection as a GM. Now we just have to wait and see how it plays out with Muhammad Wilkerson. If Wilkerson returns, how they're going to choose to deploy their guys and their personnel along the defensive line. But the bottom line is the Jets added what should be an outstanding football player to their defense tonight, and did so in a position where people, I don't think, thought they'd be able to get their hands on a player of Leonard Williams' capabilities.
You just read my next question, and my next question was, did anybody bring up Mo Wilkerson? I mean, was that, what was the scuttlebutt there about Mo Wilkerson's status with the Jets? I hear that question? Sorry, Chris, were you able to hear that question?
I didn't catch that last question. Sorry, guys. I'm trying my best to hear. It's very tough.
Yep. No, the question was simply, did anybody bring up Mo Wilkerson?
Did say it again? Did anybody what?
Did anybody bring up Mo Wilkerson? Did anybody bring that up?
Mo Wilkerson. Sorry. Yeah. Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles were both asked about that. The Jets are going to be very buttoned up about that situation right now just because there's a lot of questions and uncertainty there right now, and that really started even before they selected Leonard Williams. You know, Mo Wilkerson hasn't been here for voluntary minicamp, which is not a shot against him. It's voluntary for a reason. He's doing what he feels is best for him and his contract situation. So he had the reports earlier in the week that some teams had contacted the Jets about a potential trade involving Wilkerson. And, you know, I didn't really buy it much at the time. And even up until tonight, right until the Jets submitted that pick, I wasn't of the belief that they were really seriously looking to trade Mo Wilkerson. And I'm still not sure that they're really seriously looking to trade Mo Wilkerson. And Mike Maccagnan said, we're not actively shopping him. But the fact that they now have another potential defensive stud, or defensive end, I should say, to add to, you know, along with Sheldon Richardson, and now you throw Leonard Williams in the mix, you've got Damon Harrison, you've got Quentin Coples, who can play with his hand in the dirt in pass rushing situations. So, you know, if Wilkerson is really looking for that huge contract, that big-time money, well, I think the Jets, what they did with this Williams selection is they've given themselves a little bit of leverage with those contract talks. You know, they're not in a desperate position where they have to go out and absolutely give Mo Wilkerson whatever he wants. I do think that you heard Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles both say, look, Mo's a really good player. We want to have him here, and we'll both probably be reaching out to him in the near future. Bottom line is, there's a dollar amount that Mo Wilkerson and his agent think he's worth, and there's obviously one that the Jets think he's worth. And I really didn't think any of this was going to get resolved until after the draft, so I'm sure those talks will heat up now once we get through the weekend. It's just you have this new layer to add in where all of a sudden the Jets have added another piece to that defensive line, and that can certainly have an impact on how those talks are going to go going forward.
Chris, was there a sense of surprise in that room, or did you get the feeling that the Jets were surprised that Williams was there?
Yeah, they did say that they did not think he would be available for them at number six. As I mentioned off the top, they had him ranked in their top three, and, you know, as much as we all look at mock drafts, I'm sure people inside the war rooms in the NFL kind of keep an outside eye on them, just for fun, I would imagine, but you heard those guys say in there tonight that they certainly didn't expect he'd be sitting there at number six, and the value of taking Leonard Williams at number six was just too high to pass up. So I don't think they came into the night expecting that this was going to be the outcome, but that's the way it fell to them, and we see this every year. There's always a couple of guys that maybe don't go where they're projected. Maybe they slide a little bit. You don't expect that with arguably one of the better prospects in the draft, but that's what happened. The Jets were the beneficiary, and Mike Maccagnan talked last week about wanting to take best player available. Well, he sure did that in this situation, because defensive line, defensive end specifically, not at all a need for this team right now. In fact, probably the least of their needs, but what they did tonight and what they feel good about is the fact that they added another really good football player, at least a guy that they feel is going to be a really good football player to their team.
And Chris, just one more, because I know you're trying to watch the Ranger game. I think this first pick for Mike Maccagnan spoke volumes about his mantra really being best player available. I mean, could we have possibly learned more about Mike Maccagnan as a GM with that pick?
You know, he talked about it last week, how he doesn't, one of his pet peeves when analyzing what goes on in a draft year to year, one of his pet peeves is ranking need above value. And he feels that when teams start to draft for needs, or they let their needs get in the way of their evaluation of a player, that's where mistakes are made, and where teams get themselves into trouble reaching for certain players that might not work out in terms of the value down the road, whether or not they turn into a bust, or whether or not the player doesn't really live up to expectations of where he's being drafted. So Maccagnan, the phrase that I heard yesterday, or last week I should say, and heard again today, is that you want to evaluate and rank your board in a bubble, meaning you're not considering your needs, you're not considering what other teams may or may not do, you're just strictly looking at the player, his measurables, his game film, you know, his character concerns, or whether or not he has a high character, and you're just going to rank your players based on that, based on nothing else. And I think that's exactly what they did in this particular instance. You know, they had other needs that they could have addressed. Had they taken a Vic Beasley, had they taken a Kevin White, people probably wouldn't have, you know, gone screaming out into the streets saying, no, they made the wrong decision. But you can also turn that around and say, well, they took arguably the best player in the draft at number six. So despite the fact it wasn't a need and they do have some other concerns to address, it's really tough to kill a first-year GM when he lands, you know, a player that people had ranked in the top three at number six. So he stuck to his philosophy. We don't really have a track record on him yet, but I think you saw tonight probably what Mike McCagnan is going to be all about.
Chris, it is already being reported by the Bleacher Report that the Jets are actively putting Muhammad Wilkerson on the trading block. Gun to your head, do you think he is in green and white week one against Cleveland?
Chris, did you get that question? That was Joe. I'm not sure if you were able to make it out.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I wasn't able to make out that last one. Whoever was speaking has a real deep voice, and there's a lot of bass, so I couldn't quite make it out. Sorry about that.
Thank you. That's our old friend, Joe Caparoso. But no, Chris.
Hey, Joe. I'm sorry, man. I don't need to miss out on Joe's question.
I can't make out the words.
You guys got quite a crowd over there. It sounds like you're all having a good time. It's a good thing.
We do, and let me relay his question, Chris. Basically, he asked, it's already being reported in certain places that Mo Wilkerson is being shopped, and Joe's question was basically kind of gut feeling, is Mo Wilkerson a Jet come week one against the Browns?
You know, I said earlier tonight before this round one started that I still felt Mo Wilkerson would be a Jet by the time, or not that he ever wasn't a Jet, but I felt that they would get a deal done by the time training camp arrived or the early part of training camp. You know, I'm not going to flip and do a complete 180 right now. I understand that there's going to be a lot of rumors, speculation, and reports out there now, fueled by the fact that the Jets just picked Leonard Williams. I can only go based on what McCagnan and Bowles told us about a half hour ago or so, and I understand that NFL GMs and head coaches aren't exactly transparent with the media at all times, but they said he's a good player that they'd like to keep and that they're not actively shopping him. Does that mean that they're not fielding calls from other teams about him? No, probably not. I'm sure they're going to want to listen to any offers that might be out there because you never know. You might find a desperate team or a team that's willing to offer you a package that has just too much value to turn down. So I think it would be foolish for them to come out and say, no, we're not trading Mo Wilkerson, no ifs, ands, or buts. You know, they have to be open-minded right now. It's late April going into May. We're a long ways away, a couple months from training camp, even more away from the season opener. It's a new regime. It's a new GM. It's a new head coach, a new staff, a new defense, a new offense. You know, this is, while Mo Wilkerson is one of your best players and he's entering his prime, you know, there are question marks on the financial side. So I think it would be foolish for them to at least not entertain some offers now that they've given themselves some leverage with the Williams pick. But
I think we lost Chris there.
And we're going to go out and start shopping him and making calls and taking offers and getting into serious discussions with teams. Maybe it comes to that at some point, but I don't think at this point in time we're quite that far along yet.
Agree with you, Chris. Chris, thank you so much for the time. Go watch the Ranger game, buddy. And tremendous job, as always, on WFAN. And maybe next year we'll get you out here live. Okay, bud? Thank you.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
Chris Lopresti, the great CeeLo from WFAN and the Boomer Carton program. And, of course, he covers the New York Jets for WFAN. He's a huge Ranger fan, that kid. He's a huge Ranger fan. He's huge.
The fact that he called us in the third period of a Ranger playoff game and stayed on for a long time and tried calling a number of times.
He called in a number of times to make it happen.
Thank you very much, Chris Lopresti.
I think he likes Caparoso.
He likes his voice.
I didn't realize I had such a deep baritone voice.
You really do.
I credit Ringwood, North Jersey, where I came from. And
I wouldn't.
My family had come in from the hills of Sicily. What can I say? So after this pick, I tweeted out, I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, what does everybody rate this pick? And I think it'd probably be about 100 responses I would say overwhelming consensus is, you know, 8, 9, 10, 7, 8, 9, 10. As to be expected, draft night. People have faith in the new GM. They're excited about it. I think a lot of people are saying, and what is a qualifier is, you know, seven if they trade Wilkerson, 9 if they find a way to keep him. And again, it's already being reported that he's on the block. Is how valid is it at this point? I don't know. But it is impressive conviction by McCagnan to stick to his board and very truly take the best player available. Now, they're going to be getting so many offers from Muhammad Wilkerson. If they weren't already, there is undeniably a glut of defensive linemen on this team. And do they budge? And what? How do they value Wilkerson? Are they content to keep him this year, franchise him next year, and worry about it down the road? Or are they just going to say, you know what, our numbers are too far apart. Can we get, you know, a second rounder for him? Can we maybe get a first rounder for him? Can we get
a quarterback for him?
You know, what? How can we activate him in a potential deal? And that's going to be very interesting to watch. I'd love to see Wilkerson back. He's a 25-year-old. He's one of the best all-around 3-4 defensive linemen in the NFL. Those guys don't grow on trees. There's going to be a lot of pressure on the Jets, though, and a lot of offers now to potentially trade him. So how do they handle it? And then if they do keep him, how does Todd Bowles scheme a defense around getting the most out of all of these guys, where the Jets have such a condensed amount of talent up front? Harrison just signed his tender.
Yep.
He's back. We know we have Richardson, who may already be eclipsing Wilkerson. You have Wilkerson potentially. Now you have Williams. Now you have Copels, who they exercise the fifth-year option on. So going to be very interesting to watch, and also very interesting to watch how they handle the 37th pick, and do they continue with that same strategy and maybe, again, take a position that we don't potentially expect. I mean, could they go secondary if there's someone who's there who they're not surprised?
Right.
It's not necessarily a slam dunk that they go receiver, offensive line, or running back. We would think that, but, you know, we have to see how it plays out.
So, Joe, you've just done the thing that you always do best, and that's talk rationally about the pick and what the Jets did. Now, I want your opinion on how you feel about the pick. Do you like it? Do you like taking Leonard Williams at 6, or are they inviting a lot of unnecessary drama now with all of the Mo Wilkerson talk?
Personally, I'm not honestly thrilled with it. I probably would have took Beasley in that spot, although I would prefer Williams to White because I'm not crazy about taking a receiver at 6. But again, I think that Williams' ceiling is no higher than Wilkerson. So I understand he's 20, and maybe he does develop into being a better player than him, but I like keeping your talent. I think we saw this with Darrell Revis, and we saw this with, you know, do you want to trade away a 25-year-old All-Pro? Why do you want to bring that potential scrutiny around your team? For that reason and that reason predominantly, I don't love the pick. I understand the pick. He's a high-floor player. You can make a very real case that he's unquestionably the best player still on the board. I'm not doing cartwheels over it. I'm not overly excited about it, particularly if Wilkerson ends up getting traded, because this guy is already great, and Williams is not, has to show that he can get to that level. Maybe he does, but I don't know if Williams developing to his best is any better than Muhammad Wilkerson was last year and was this year before he got healthy. So I want to judge it after I see the entire draft class and if they get a potential trade through for Wilkerson. But
Joe, what are the odds that they trade Wilkerson during this draft?
It's interesting because if those rumors are coming in, you feel like something would happen sooner rather than later, right? They're not going to drag. If you're going to trade him this weekend, while this activity is going on, why drag it out? I would say I understand the pick. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably about a 5 as being excited about it.
Wow.
Williams is going to be a good player. Is he going to be a great All-Pro player? I'm not sure yet. Is he going to be better than Wilkerson? I'm not sure yet. I want to judge it in the context of the entire class and around a potential Wilkerson trade.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see. Again, there were some people scratching their heads when the Jets took Sheldon Richardson. I think Richardson was a more explosive prospect.
Right.
And he's been terrific. Let's hope this is a repeat of that scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's... Go ahead, Cal.
The only thing about trading him now is I think we can agree that he's worth at least one number one pick.
But next year?
It's tough to trade for next year's number one pick because you don't know where those teams are going to fall.
Joe, what does this pick become, though, if they keep them all and they just run this ridiculous defensive line out at you? I mean, what does it become if they extend Wilkerson, and all of a sudden they run this out at you that, you know, with the revamped secondary, now all of a sudden this defense is legendary.
Yeah, I mean, you're counting on interior pressure, right? You're going to get your pressure from the interior, not off the edge with speed, because, you know, they're kind of light on that right now.
Which is what hurts Brady.
It's true. But it's going to be interesting schematically. How does Bowles find a way to use these guys, and how does he move them around the formation? One of the best things about Mohamed Wilkerson is that he can move around the formation. Is Williams going to be able to do that right out of the gate? It might take a little time. But Richardson is probably ready to assume that role. And is Quinton Culp is going to be the guy we saw in the last three or four games last year when Wilkerson was hurt? He's a key swing player in this as well.
He's a huge swing player. All right, we got to finish up the raffle, and then we only have a few minutes left of the live podcast, so we're going to wrap things up. So let's finish up the raffle. By the way, while we were away with Chris LaPreston, again, thanks to Chris for his time, we had another pick. We had Melvin Gordon. Yeah, we had a couple of picks, but we had a very big pick with Melvin Gordon III going. And for the first time in 800 years, two running backs went in the first round.
And San Diego traded up to get that
pick,
so they wanted him.
Only two spots, right? I think they went up two spots, but they clearly wanted him. And that's a really good pick for the Chargers, I think. I think that's a great pick for the Chargers. And it also means Phillip Rivers is not going anywhere.
No.
So you add Melvin Gordon III to that offense. I think, Joe, what do you think? I think that's a great pick for the Chargers.
They definitely needed a running back, and as soon as Gurley was off the board, you had to assume they were going to be looking at Gordon, whether it be at their pick at 17 or even trading up like they did. Now you got to figure, like you said, Phillip Rivers is staying there. He's got his running back now. They haven't had a consistent running back since LT left. Sproles was okay for a little bit. Ryan Matthews is in and out of the lineup with the injuries. Danny Woodhead is like a Sproles, can't do it all himself. As much as we used to love Danny Woodhead.
Sure.
Although we cut him for David Clowney.
Yeah.
Still.
David Clowney's awesome.
Still fresh in
the I don't know what's wrong with you. All right, let's finish up the raffle, guys, and I want to get your second round picks for the Jets, and then we're going to wrap it up. All right, we have another raffle, so grab your tickets. What do we got here? What's the prize, professional auctioneer raffle man?
Those.
What is it?
Flap rim Jets hat right now. We have the flap rim and the old school hat. Your pick, whoever wins it.
Okay, so the flap. We're gonna go with the flap brim Jets hat first.
This is winner's choice.
It's winner's.
It's winner's choice.
We have two different hats.
Why don't you do this?
A smorgasbord of sets.
You want me to do it?
Yeah.
All right.
Cal's taking over the raffle.
Okay, so the number is 7-4-1-2-9-4-9. Do we have a winner?
We have a winner.
Can we make up a winner?
Here it is again. We'll give it to you again. Ready? 7-4-1. You got it? 7-4-1-2-9-4-9. And we have a winner. Oh, we have to verify it. Hold on. Check the numbers.
You're so official.
This is official.
Is this what a professional raffle guy does?
This is accurate.
He's a winner.
He's a winner.
Your choice. Can't be the one. Oh, just let's see.
This is a very difficult decision. I like your choice. You made
good
the
choice.
Smart choice. You made the right move. Thank you. Thank you for coming down tonight. All right. So are we good on the raffle?
Yes.
Or do we have anything else?
Do you have anything else to raffle?
I don't have anything.
Did you bring anything?
I brought something. Okay, we have the other hat to raffle off. Go ahead.
Okay, here's the other hat. Here's your number.
Here's your number.
7-4-1-2-9-7-1.
Ooh.
It's dramatic, right?
Ooh. Flat brimmed jet hat. Who gets a flat brimmed hot jet hat? This hat is.
The
Chiefs
the
pick
again?
Is in.
Well, you want to hear the Chiefs pick?
The Chiefs select Marcus Peters, cornerback from Washington. Wow, so Peters went there. Tiny Nolan, very upset. He just picked.
Call an
8.
Because I need a hat. My hair's getting.
Look at this. Look at this guy's hair.
Okay. It's an 8.
Yeah, it's an 8.
I was looking at it wrong. It's an 8.
Hey!
There you go.
Let's go, Jets!
You can't replace the joy on his face.
You can't. The joy on his face was priceless.
You can't take that away from him.
No, you can't take that away. You can't.
It's like a kid getting the Super Nintendo.
It really is. We're going to wrap up the podcast in just a couple of minutes. Thanks for everybody to come down.
We got to get rid of those we still got the preseason tickets. Clock ticket now, I know.
Oh, we do. I don't know how we give those away. We have more raffle tickets.
Those who win will have to just send along their contact information, and we will send over the yes. You like the code and the card now, the high-tech tickets.
Gotcha. Okay, so we have the Jets preseason tickets to raffle off. We're going to do this now. Four tickets, two sets of two for two games? Four sets of two tickets. So I'm calling two numbers right now? Four. Okay. Here we go. Let's raffle these off. Jets preseason tickets. You can go to the game. Have a great time at the stadium. What are you eating? What is that? Maron, Schaffadel. Go easy. Will you please? I'm in Mutterivam. Come on.
I'm hungry.
What are you teaching this kid? All right. First number here for the Jets preseason tickets. 7412946. 7412946. 7412946. 7412946. 741-2946. All right. 7412977. Anyone. We may have trouble moving the preseason tickets, boys.
We could always just go and have.
All right. Oh, Matt Silvestri.
There we go. We got a
Matt
winner.
Silvestri. Fantastic. This guy coming up to the booth here is an old friend of mine. Fantastic pitcher. Big Giants fan. Big Giants fan. Good pitcher. Sil, we love you. What do you think? She was taking a piss. Your girlfriend was taking a piss.
She was.
Oh, okay. That was Matt Silvestri, everybody. She may be done with everything by the time she gets back to the bathroom. There she is! There she is. She is the big winner. You guys are
going to
go to the game? She might be going to the game.
Lovely East Rutherford, New Jersey on a warm August night.
It's
going to
be
more romantic than
that. It's going to be a gorgeous, romantic August night. The smell will be wafting through. Sil, what do you think of the Giants pick, buddy? Need pick. Total need pick, right?
It was him and Scherf, really. The Reds
get screwed. Scherf was a guy, but the Reds, again.
Always.
Well, listen, congratulations. I'm going to give you one of Dave Lopez's cards. I don't know if you know him. Have you met him?
I think I have.
He was one of the proprietors of Gun Hill Brewery. You don't say.
They have great beer.
They have very good beer. Here, contact Dave Lopez for your tickets. Thank you for coming, brother. So good to see you. Nice to meet you. Guys, enjoy the game. You can root against the Jets. It'll be so much fun. She's a keeper. I like this one, Matt. She's far better looking than you. Far better looking. Yeah. I mean, it's not even a contest. All right. We have a couple more tickets to give away. We'll do this real quick, and then we'll wrap it up. And Cal, yes.
Number two, please. We have a gentleman here that drove up all the way from Virginia for this draft party.
Are you serious?
Yes. That's the word that I've gotten. He's come up from Virginia. He wants to give us his opinion on the Jet pick.
Okay. I would love that.
This has been vetted by Joe.
This is Joe.
This is fine.
Joe has vetted him?
Yeah.
I love this guy.
He's like a professional giving him instructions.
Grab those beers there, Joe. Make sure those beers don't get in the way there.
Don't sacrifice
the beers.
What's going on, everybody?
Hey, welcome to Virginia.
So, first of all, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming up. What's your
Thanks
name?
Thanks for having me. My name is David.
David, yeah. Pleasure to meet you.
Likewise.
Sam Pete, Cal, Joe.
Pleasure.
You met Joe Cap. Welcome.
Thank you.
Where'd you drive up from? Virginia?
Richmond, Virginia. Yes, sir.
Holy macaroni.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm gonna tell you, go ahead and swallow that mic. Get as close to that mic as you possibly
All right,
can.
Get it close.
There it is. You got a great voice, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
So, first question, how do you feel about the pick?
I love the pick.
Okay.
Yeah. We did the opposite of what the Redskins did. The Redskins had a need at five, and they reached for a guy who was probably the 10th best player in the draft. And we had the opposite effect. We didn't need Leonard Williams, but he's the best kid on the board, obviously, for probably about 20 teams in the draft. And we get the best player overall with six. I'll take it.
You love it.
It's the opposite of what the Jets have done for the last 20 years.
Yeah, usually.
I'll take it.
Usually.
Sounds good.
I would imagine that you've been a Jet fan for years.
Say again?
I would imagine you've been a Jet fan for years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
About 1984.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When was the last time you were happy with a pick in the first round? Like this?
It's been a while. I can't tell you when. Put it like this. When we took Sheldon Richardson, I didn't even know who he was. So that would have been the pick that I would have been excited about. And I was like, Sheldon who? So that's a typical Jet fan thing. We don't even know when to be happy.
Right.
How about that?
Well, we all were. I mean, we were doing this show when they took Richardson.
Oh, you did, right.
We were doing a live draft podcast, and they had just taken Milner. So we were a little stunned and a little taken aback.
Right.
And they were like, Sheldon Richardson, what is going – like, who is he?
I didn't know – I mean – logic would have told if I knew more about it at that point.
Sure.
Missouri D lineman, but I didn't, and I was like, who's this guy? Like, we got two picks and we got two guys I don't know. Thanks, Jets.
Right.
Typical Jets, right?
Typical Jets. Yeah, but it was obviously a good draft.
Worked out.
This pick, it's exciting.
Yeah, this is I think again we saw them take the best player available. We haven't seen that in a long time. Obviously there's a lot of film on Leonard Williams that we love. We've been able to see a lot of him.
Right.
You know, if you watch the combine at all, you're excited about his shuttle and you're excited about his strength. And let me ask you, though, living down in Richmond, I've lived out of town and been a Jet fan before.
Yeah.
How is it down there? Is there a good scene for the Jets?
No.
Have you found like-minded fans? Are you able to get out on a Sunday and watch the game with Jet fans?
No and no. There's a lot of ridicule involved. I live in NFC East country.
Right.
So, obviously, a lot of Redskins. But when you're in that area, people don't have a lot of teams to root for. So, it's all Dallas, Skins, Eagles. So, anytime I mention the Jets, it's like, Jets, what the hell's wrong with you?
Right.
Part of my French. So,
right.
It's very volatile territory, and I'm proud.
Yeah.
I have Jets Mardi Gras beads. If you
I see that.
Them, and
yeah.
They get worn frequently.
They're magnificent.
That answers your question.
So how do you come to the Jets in 1984?
Say it again.
How do you come to the Jets in 1984? What's your come to the Jets moment?
I'm from the Bronx, so I'm supposed to be a Giants fan.
That's
My
correct.
My father's a Giants fan.
That's right.
I don't know what it was. You know, the sack exchange. We won a couple games in that year. My parents bought me a bunch of Jets stuff for Christmas. And I wore a Jets helmet to the movie theater to go see Little Shop of Horrors in, like, 1985. You can ask my father. He's clapping because it's a fact.
That's magnificent.
And that was it. Like, I don't know. I just picked them. I watched the Giants win Super Bowl after Super Bowl, and I said, nah, I'm still the green and white.
I love
Here
it.
Here I am. I'm 34 years old. I haven't learned my lesson yet.
I so, love it.
Whatever.
So, you know, and we all are.
I ride.
It's not, and it's not like a meeting or anything. You don't have to be like, hello, my name is Steve, and I'm a Jets fan.
Right.
And how long did it take you to drive up here?
6 hours.
Oh,
six
man.
Hours? It took you 6 hours? You're among friends now.
Yeah.
You're with your
friends.
People now.
Family, in fact.
So,
yes, sir.
Thank you for coming.
Hey, pleasure's mine. Pleasure's mine. Yes, sir. Hey, thanks for having me. Yes,
Last
sir.
Thing, first of all, thank you for following Joe. I can speak for Joe. Thank you for following his site.
Absolutely.
We picked up on Joe a couple of years ago, Cal and I, and said, this guy's doing the best job out there.
Turnonthejets.com.
That's it.
That's my site. These are my guys.
It's the way.
I follow them all the time.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Isn't it so much better following them out of town now?
Oh, God.
Because of the blogs and because of the podcasts and because, right?
I told Joe that I come to these guys first. They don't have the media credentials to have the direct access to the team. But I feel like they give so much better information.
Absolutely.
Because there's no agenda.
Yeah.
This is just what we see on the field between Connor with the inside information and these guys.
That's it.
It's great information. And it connects me to the team when I'm out of town.
I love it. Thank you so much for coming up, brother.
Oh, pleasure, man.
Appreciate it.
Thanks
Thank you so much.
Me. Well,
really.
One more round on the handshakes.
Oh, we'll go around again.
Hey, you guys have a good night.
You too.
Hey, thank
Thanks.
You.
Safe drive back. So that's just fantastic. That's what it's all about. It's why we did it. And a beer is
You're like
making
a
me very
mother right
I know.
Now. It's not going
I'm like,
anywhere.
I'm like my grandmother with just that beer.
That was awesome.
So we're going to wrap up the show. We have just a couple of preseason tickets to give away. Joe, that's so great. This is so great. Do you want to go ahead and read this, and then we'll finish it up, Cal?
Okay, so this is, again, one more raffle for Jets preseason tickets.
Jets preseason tickets. One more raffle, and then we're going to wrap up the show. Thank you all so much for coming out. Once again, seatswaptickets.com, 5 Milestone, turnonthejets.com, rtusports.com, Cal.
Jet preseason tickets, 741-2966. 741-2966. Jets preseason tickets.
Jets preseason tickets, 741-2966. 2966. Anybody got that? Anybody got that? Anybody got that? You know what? Can we just give them to him? Yeah. Do we have a winner? All right. No, you. Oh, you are a liar. You are a delight. Don't worry about it.
That is not my beer.
Let's just give him. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to go ahead and give you the...
We have a winner.
We have a winner. We're going to go ahead and give you the preseason tickets.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will take that.
Come up. Here's a card from the guy who has them. You contact him. He'll get you the tickets. You're all set up. You drive back up. You come see the game.
Oh, absolutely.
All right?
Oh, shit.
There we go.
That's fine.
Bleep that. Oh, bleep.
Yeah, we'll get that after. Don't worry.
We'll fix that in post. Don't worry about it. All right.
Well, positive energy. Guys, before we wrap up, huge thanks to you guys. All the audio, all the setting up this entire podcast. Running point for 3 straight hours. Two of you did not get out of the booth or away from the microphone once, which is astounding to me.
Wearing Depends.
It's amazing endurance. It's really, you guys are so professional. We're so happy to work with you guys every year for the draft, and I hope it's something we keep going in the years going forward. There's no other podcast that we do this with, and you guys have just been great to work with. It's the best way to put it. I don't want to gush too much and make you blush, but seriously, really much appreciated.
Listen, the feeling is mutual.
Yeah, we bumped into each other a couple years ago with a mutual interest in what we were doing, and you know, we always say, Joe, you guys do the best job with the Jets, bar none. Now you got the podcast cooking. It's been great to watch you guys. So it's our pleasure. Believe us. It's been great.
Great union of these families right here.
It's a nice marriage of the families. It's nice. You know, we know each other. It's nice. Have to thank Jay Mafali.
Thank you, Jay.
I mean, he's wearing the T-shirt.
I got the T-shirt. I wear it all the time.
There it is. Jay, you should get combat pay for this one, though. I mean, this was really difficult. All your bartenders, everybody here at 5 Mile Stone, Dave Lopez of Gun Hill Brewery, thank you so much, Dave. We couldn't have done this without you. The guys from SeatSwap, seatswaptickets.com, please go there. They are doing a fantastic thing. It's really a good site. It's a great idea. And guys, good luck with it, really. Good luck with the site. I will steer people there all the time. Dan, thank you so much. David, thank you so much. Everybody here at 5 Mile Stone, thank you so much. And for Cal, final unload?
I've got nothing. This was a great night. Thank you to everybody. Steve, thank you for running this whole thing.
Yes, I'm going to go use the bathroom.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
Good night.
And coach is right. I mean, this is the kind of guy that Chip would want, and it's a good pick for him. They needed to get some more firepower on the outside.
Real quick, this is before you came to us. This is your last place that you work. You know the building very well. Is this all going to work? Chip Kelly is doing it his way.
That's right. Hey, you need to allow a coach in order to put his program into place and establish.
So, draft rolling really now in Chicago. The Windy City.